Good evening. Welcome to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. I'm an employment law and business law attorney, and I host this weekly live talk radio show and this live video broadcast every Tuesday night from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Talk Radio NYC. And each week, I have guests who discuss some of the most interesting and novel topics that employers and companies are facing during these trying times. And in that light, I'd like to welcome to the show tonight our guest. He's actually a returning guest. I'm very happy to have him on, Dr. Lance Knob, who is the founder of Breakthrough Physical Therapy and Fitness and also of Denali Consulting. So Lance, you're muted, I should remind you, but I wanted to unmute and say, welcome to the show. It's great to have you back.
Thank you so much. It's fabulous to be back. I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to our chat.
Yep, same here. I think it should be a really interesting discussion. I think very engaging and something that our audience can no doubt relate to, which I'll get to in just a moment. I'm going to introduce you. I want to first give our audience a taste of the topic we're discussing this evening. Our topic is called Play to Win, Better Productivity Through Recreation. And what we're really talking about is that with this ever-changing workforce during the pandemic, from remote to hybrid and everything in between, many business owners and employees alike, I think are suffering from burnout. Perhaps others have lost some sense of their recreational activities during COVID and have become so focused on work that they forgot how to tap into and schedule leisure, creativity, and play. And you know, this is a big issue I find for entrepreneurs, that we get caught up in the headspace of work, 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 when in fact we all need to rejuvenate to be more productive. So in tonight's episode of Employment Law Today, Lance and I will discuss ways to bring leisure, creative play, and fun back into the work-life balance. And I can't think of a better guest to have on the show for this conversation than Lance. And with that note, allow me to give you, Lance, a proper introduction, if I may. Okay, so my guest this evening, as I mentioned, folks, is Dr. Lance Knob, who helps entrepreneurs scale their businesses and create the lives that they love while protecting and improving their health, especially during times of overwhelm and extreme stress. Lance is the founder of Breakthrough Physical Therapy and Fitness, a growing multi-million dollar company whose mission is to be the community's choice in physical therapy and fitness offerings, with over 50 employees and 5 locations. More recently, Lance founded Denali Consulting to help entrepreneurs create their visions and build businesses that are a valuable asset, which can run without them operating the day-to-day for a short or extended period of time, and instead are operated by their fearless team. Dr. Knob's first publication, called The 4% Breakthrough, an Amazon bestseller, shares all of his hard-earned lessons with entrepreneurs and leaders to help them save years of time, avoid burnout and overstress, and prevent them from joining the 96% of small business owners who fail within the first 10 years. Lance is an entrepreneur, a doctor of physical therapy, a certified strength and conditioning specialist, and an adjunct assistant professor at Rutgers University's Doctors of Physical Therapy program. Dr. Lance Knob lives with his wife and 3 children in Medford, New Jersey, a fellow New Jerseyan. And again, Lance, glad you can be with us tonight.
Absolutely. Can't wait. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's get into it. All right. Sure thing. So first question for you, I was wondering if you can just tell us a little bit more about yourself. Like, for example, you know, what prompted you to found Breakthrough Fitness and what inspired you to become a leadership business consultant?
Yeah, there's definitely some commonalities. You know, probably what inspired me to get into healthcare. You know, I really loved working with people and wanted to be active. And, you know, somehow I started off as a pharmacy student and I didn't like chemistry, so that wasn't a great fit. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate not to have any injuries in high school, which is how a lot of people discover physical therapy. But luckily, Andrea Ehrenheim, a classmate in my Rutgers exercise science program, mentioned she was volunteering at Robert Wood Johnson. And I checked it out and loved it, fell in love with the helping people part. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really, especially I started off in brain injury and moved into orthopedics. In orthopedics, you can help people and sports medicine very quickly. So that was a lot of fun, really, to have an impact. And similarly now, helping entrepreneurs, you know, there is definitely, you know, the commonality of helping people to stay healthy, you know, to get and to stay healthy. And mentally, spiritually, physically, and also financially, right? As we just talked about, this failure stat, you know, 96% of small businesses failing in 10 years. I'm very passionate about helping entrepreneurs to actually pay themselves commensurate for the roles they have in their organization, and then achieve double digit profitability. You know, there's, you know, someone named Michael McAllowitz who has a book and a concept called Profit First. So I really advocate that. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with that, realizing that, you know, even though from a tax standpoint, accounting standpoint, like everything that flows through them is considered profit and so on and so on. However, if we put in a fair market value for replacing yourself first, then we call the rest profit. That's a much better way to look at things.
You know, it's interesting, that's an interesting point you made there towards the end of what you were saying. When you said that you focus on also financial health and encouraging people to pay themselves, right? To sort of put themselves first in terms of payment. It kind of reminded me of our topic a little bit, because part of the work-life play balance is, hey, you know, put your recreational needs first too. Put yourself first in terms of play or leisure. So I think it's interesting you talk about people like self-care in terms of financial self-care. And then we have self-care in terms of recreation, leisure, rest. So I think that's an interesting point. And then one other point you made about wanting to help people and how it dovetails into what you're doing now as a business consultant, I think, just like something for our audience to kind of, you know, take into account. So I appreciate you sharing that with us. It's good to have that backdrop.
No, definitely. It's all woven together, right? I mean, if you're not healthy financially and from a cash flow standpoint, you know, your personal household or your business, you're done, unfortunately. So if you can, you know, some of the basic financial advice, right? Probably 3 to 6 months of, you know, liquidity in your home and your business, get a credit line. I was helping some small business in their third full year. You know, they just got a credit line of $33,000 and they're sleeping a little easier at night, and they're going to go for a second credit line. You need these fundamentals in place for sure.
Right. I think it's like one thing that, you know, COVID-19 taught us too, is that like we're all, you know, it can be perilously close to things being urgently in dire straits and needing emergency funds and backup and financial stability. So I think absolutely, Lance, really, you know, good points there. And it's interesting. It's like, you know, we talk about this topic of, we call it play to win, right? The secret creation leisure. And I was sort of thinking about this. I think you and I had this conversation. We spoke before the show last week about, like, how people, you know, I think, like, often there are these, like, messages that, at least I learned growing up too, from society, from movies, that I think contribute to people overworking and maybe not taking enough time out for themselves, recreation and play. So I'm wondering, like, what are some of the flawed beliefs or misguided attitudes towards recreation and play that perhaps you think might factor into a business owner's burnout or overextension?
Yeah, and that's a great question. This is going to be a fun topic to talk about. You know, there's definitely some experts like Gary Vaynerchuk, who advocate for, you know, really working 24/7, just working a lot and just being all in. And, you know, someone I emulate, John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneurs on Fire, you know, I think he kind of describes it a little better. He advocates for, certainly in your startup phase, right? You might really have to go hard. However, you need to draw this line. And this is where I see the mistake, right? The challenge for entrepreneurs. When you hit a certain threshold or milestone, how you kind of take it down a gear, take it down a notch, and make some of that transition. So, so there's definitely, you know, a lot of, you know, people advocating and just this mindset that once you're an entrepreneur, you really have to be, you know, doing it round the clock, which I don't think is necessarily true, right? I think you have to know you're enough, you know what's most important to you. So to me, it's like, you know your why, your cause, your reason, your mission, and figure out what success looks like to you, because it would be very easy if you don't do some introspective personal, you know, thinking that you may even hit your company targets, but then if you lost your health, right, or you lost your family, it would not be success. You know, I just joined a group of very successful entrepreneurs called GoBundance, and there's 600 total people, and the conference I think had 400, and there was a definite pattern. And it was, many of them have already damaged their relationships or losing their relationships with their partners. So you really have to protect not only your health, but your relationships, you know, with your partner, your family, some of the priorities, right? Some of the core things in life, or it's very easy to not do that along the way.
Yeah, I think so, Lance. Absolutely. I think, you know, good points about like what you said about the, just, you know, the success, right? How we define it and being so true. And, you know, if success looks like it's like only the business or the company or the firm doing well, then if there's no one to share it with or no health, it's kind of negates itself. What I'm also, I see an interesting point is how much like our society, I think, tends to kind of either glorify workaholism, and don't get me wrong, hard work and long hours like might be necessary at times for anyone, especially starting out. I know when I started my law practice, like in 2001, I was not, you know, doing a 9-to-5, you know, with Fridays off. It definitely wasn't like that at all. But I think that like our society, you know, in movies, in books, in kind of just creative myths and legends, like it's always the, you kind of see, like, I'm an attorney. So when I was, you know, coming up in law school, watching those movies, you know, the kind of the underdog lawyer against the big, you know, evil person or corporation, and they'd all be kind of, you know, in the conference room, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning with, right, you show the littered pizza boxes all spread out over the conference room table, right, the person there, the tie undone, you know, falling asleep, trying to stay awake to write their brief, and it makes its way into many, I think, you know, argue for entrepreneurs, startups, technology, but there's a cost to that, right, and I think it's like the message says that that's what we have to do, you know, to be successful, to be quote unquote noble. And if we're not taking care of ourselves, it reminds me of a saying I heard, you know, that like self care is not self-indulgence. I think it's self-preservation. So interesting, like, kind of food for thought there, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I know we're, heading into a break here, sure. But your industry, I mean, is notorious, right? I mean, lawyers really are, you know, there's a sort of an expectation and a standard there. So the fact that you're focused on this and sharing this within your colleagues and to the rest of the entrepreneurial world is admirable.
Thank you, Lance. I appreciate that. You know, I appreciate that you're here tonight to help share this as well and talk about this topic. And so, and you're right, we are actually at the first commercial break. So I will turn over to our sponsors. I'll just note that for those out there, you're listening to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. Our guest tonight, Dr. Lance Naum, Denali Consulting. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. Once again, I'm your host, Eric Sauver. My guest tonight, Dr. Lance Naub, founder of Breakthrough Physical Therapy and Fitness and Denali Consulting Services, a business consulting counseling firm. And we're talking about this concept, like the play to win, the idea of scheduling leisure, creativity, and fun into our work-life balance, into our work to become more productive and healthier, and I think more sustainable in the long run. So I wanted to ask you, Lance, about an issue that probably never gets mentioned much these days, this pandemic, COVID-19. And wondering, how do you think the COVID-19 pandemic may have contributed to, let's say, an imbalance of work life and recreation over the last 2 years?
Yeah, it's been a really interesting experiment, right? In so many ways. You know, people didn't have commutes and, you know, they were able to, you know, use technology and leverage technology. So they may have, you know, gained some exercise time. However, they had their families at home, right? I know in my household, my kids were doing homeschool, you know, most of the households, and it seems like, right, pretty predominantly the greater stress fell on the, you know, the moms of the home. So you have this amazing like mix of combination, like maybe people have some more time, but now with all the technology, like really, unless you set up boundaries intentionally, some people weren't able to shut it off, right? We may have talked about that. And so I think that now it's going to fall on the individual a little bit more to set up those boundaries and set up that framework. You know, you and I spoke, one thing that I'm happy to share with people, and really, you know, some of the, you know, the corporations that I'm, you know, small business that I've been working with have really enjoyed, it's a time map, and I call it a success schedule. And I really challenge people to put their priorities down on paper first, so they can, you know, build their life around them and not miss their sleep and their exercise and, you know, eating, you know, healthy. And that might involve, you know, food preparation. And now it might involve a commute again and some of those things. And, you know, it's not going to be perfect, right? I mean, most people, if we can kind of live 75% of that on paper, that's probably not bad. It's never going to be 100%. So yeah, so it's really been an awesome dynamic experiment. Some, you know, good things, some challenging things. But I do think that, right, the challenges create opportunities. We all have to continue to, you know, evolve and improve and be better versions of ourselves, because, you know, it would be easy right now. I know everyone was on social media early in the pandemic. People were just like totally just glued to technology, and we were trying to figure out what was going on. And and I know for me, I had to, you know, we furloughed our team, unfortunately, it was just crazy. And I was on site. It was really scary, right? And I couldn't get enough news about really how dangerous things were. So, so I think those are a few of the issues. And it's been like a little bit of a mixed bag, and it's still kind of playing out.
Yeah, Lance, absolutely. You know, I hear you about that, including your own experience. I appreciate you sharing that with us, too. It's like, I hear the, you know, what you mentioned about this technology that on one hand, I think allowed many of us to keep going and continue functioning as companies, as startups, as work, you know, workers and such. I mean, just think if this pandemic had struck us all, say, in 1990 or, you know, 1995, it may have been a very different story. But I hear you about how perhaps the added use of technology and remote working may have definitely created some, I think, unhealthy blurred boundaries for many companies, maybe employers, like people like who work from home, who can easily just send a text, like, or, you know, schedule a Zoom for any time of day. And I think that's a good point that, you know, we need to look at, like with the pandemic, like people were sort of tied to their computers more, seeing work emails like coming in more perhaps as well. I also wonder if, like, maybe, you know, people had kind of lost touch with some of their usual joy and creativity because so many things, you know, were shut down. Especially in the first year, people may have had maybe a bowling league they did, say Tuesday night bowling, you know, to unwind, that was shut down, karaoke, or just, and people, I think, kind of gotten maybe into this like space of like saying, okay, well, I can't do much, I can't do math, I'll just work, and homeschool my kids, like, you know, I think like with Zoom, helping them and stuff. But so I'm wondering how much all of this, I think all that to say that these external factors like may have been contributing to perhaps a worse work-life balance, maybe.
Yeah, well, I think you're touching on something really cool, right? I think in-person can't be replaced.
Yes.
Social relationships, you know, and I had the benefit of still, you know, going in person some, and my wife didn't. So, you know, cause she wasn't treating patients. So, you know, she really, during that time period, like, you know, she definitely vocalized, really, this is a lot more challenging. I'm not really getting that social stimuli except for, you know, our kids. Right. And, you know, as fun as they are, it's still not the same as an adult conversation.
Nope.
Yeah. So, but yeah, many people, you know, were able to, if they had the discipline, you know, teachers were able to now take a walk at lunch and, you know, many professions, especially without these, you know, massive commutes that many people had. And now I think, connecting to all the expertise you have in employment law, I think the innovative companies, I hear that it seems it's a debate right now. It's a divide. Like some companies want people back 100% and maybe, and people want to maybe be 100% home. And there's this whole thing, but I really feel like the innovative leaders and companies are going to try to listen to their people and come up with a solution that works for them to customize. It's probably not going to be like black or white anymore. The world's changed.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Like, you know, I feel for your wife having that lack of social stimulation. I know it was hard being on Zoom, working from home. You know, in my profession, the courts were all, you know, like any non-essential litigation was stalled, was sort of delayed for a while, temporarily staved off, shut down, et cetera. And then back in Zoom only, and different mediations were taken done by phone and Zoom, not in person. So there was a lot going on for us attorneys as well. We didn't have much face-to-face, you know, client consults over the phone and on Zoom. And you missed that social stimulation, which I think it's an important point, because I think that in many ways, you know, having social connection is a good stepping stone into recreation and play. You know, people go into an office and then they go, hey, you want to go out, you know, somewhere and get dinner after this? Or you know, they meet up and they say, hey, let's go this place on the weekends. But I also want to say that, you know, I'm hearing something you're saying tonight. When I give more voice to it, like you're talking about sort of the silver lining in all these situations. Like you said earlier, you know, how about like with the, you know, COVID pandemic, that there were challenges that also create opportunities. And I heard you say just now that like, while the commute, you know, may have, technology may have made people kind of further apart, they could do more exercise, you know, go out for a walk, do things they could not normally do when they were spending 3 hours a day on average round trip commuting, like to and from the city or something like that, or an hour, you know, hour drive, whatnot. So I think that's all really good points, because I think part of my show is to, you know, highlight challenging issues and problems, but also, right, what are the solutions? You know, what are the remedies to these challenges? So I'm kind of hearing that in what you're saying, your message.
Yeah, and you know, as a physical therapist and personal trainer, owning that business, for exercise, just one of the components of health, the biggest excuse has always been I don't have enough time. To me, and one thing that I mentioned in my book was, okay, when commute time goes away, that is your time, right? There's no excuses anymore. So, I love the fact that you're highlighting the silver lining and the opportunity from challenges.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I think that's like an important thing to do in any, you know, any conversation, any discussion, for sure. It's like, it makes you kind of think about, you know, just the whole idea of, I think one thing you mentioned, I heard you say scheduling in time. And I guess we can like circle back to this later, or come back to this later, this idea of any tools that you and Denali Consulting might use for this. But I think that it's a good point that, you know, people need to schedule in leisure. I know you shared with me some interesting cool document with sort of a success type schedule, success map, where you put not just your work and the time for meetings or a client call or a patient, but also the time to go to the gym, or the time to maybe, you know, cook dinner or take a break or go for a walk. I think it's so important, because I know that for me, as life got busier, you know, as I got older and, you know, wife and son, you know, the career taking the firm to a new level, the going to the gym, which used to be more of a, oh, I'll do it whenever I'm up for it, has to be scheduled, otherwise it won't get done. And if I don't put on my calendar and say I'm going to go, you know, these days at lunch and these days in the morning, I just won't do it, because if the day gets busy, and then I'll say I'll go after dinner, and then I'm putting my son down for his, you know, his nighttime bedtime story in his crib, and you know, he's two, and the whole bedtime routine, like, which as we all know, with a 2-year-old, bedtime always goes like super smoothly, like no issues. They go right to sleep, like they don't want to, you know. And so, like, you know, by that end of that, I'm very, I'm moved by how much fun it is, but I'm also like super tired. You know, I collapse on the couch, and like the thought of like going to the gym is furthest from my mind. I think maybe the same goes for right scheduling in, you know, fun in terms of like reading a book or. So I'm wondering what you think about this idea of like scheduling in playtime. Is that something you recommend?
Well, I think scheduling is probably not the optimal word. You know, I think word choice matters. And to me, it really comes down to planning and being strategic, right? Having a little foresight. Because similar to me, right? We have three kids, and with their activities, there's absolutely no chance, you know, we're in 9th, 7th, and 5th grade that I'm going to get any, you know, my exercise time or much done for myself in the evening. So even though it's not my preferred time, I'm getting up, you know, at 5:30 and, you know, doing my personal routine and doing my exercise, you know, to start the day. So I'm kind of paying myself first, right? And, you know, going back to the financial and all these parts of health mixing together. And I really do feel like, you know, on this, the challenge opportunity point, like the mindset and mental health is probably step one. I really debated a lot when you kind of tackle health, what you take on first. But for me, you know, in the 4% breakthrough process, I put mental health first and then nutrition and then sleep and then exercise and then posture and ergonomics. However, it is all synergistic. No matter which one of these you break into first, it will compound and help you with the others. Similarly, if you, you know, pull an all-nighter or, you know, don't eat well, don't exercise, it will, you know, compound negatively.
It's like karma, right? You know, every action has equal and opposite, you know, or equal reaction. Like, and, you know, what you put out, which what you get back, like, I think it's, you know, a very good point. I like those, like, markers, right? Mental health, nutrition, you know, exercise, like sleep. And there was a fifth one in there, too?
Yeah. Well, look at us right now. Posture and ergonomics.
Oh, that's it. Yes, posture, right.
With and this was probably the biggest reason people came out for therapy during the pandemic. I mean, there were so many neck and low back problems because people were on their cell phones more. They were working on their soft couch. They became, their spine became like a C, you know, which is not what your, you know, spine should be, you know. So definitely have to take care of our, you know, our working positions and keep moving.
Yeah, it's like, absolutely. I think that's really important. And I think you're right that, you know, we can like aspire to tackle all five of those, you know, those key points. And to the extent that we, the more we can hit on those different points, like the better off we can be, you know, in terms of health. And it's so, I think, easy for people to kind of like sacrifice those things. And it kind of comes back, I think, to some of the messaging we get that, you know, that sleep is kind of optional, that just kind of, you know, loading up on coffee, you know, could be a substitute. Again, it's clearly not. And I definitely want to get back to more of this. We are up to our next commercial break. I'll just note that everyone, folks at home tonight, you're listening to or watching Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Derek Sauver. Our guest tonight, Dr. Lance Knob, and we're talking about like, this idea of like, play, leisure, and work-life balance, working hard, but also having that downtime. Stay tuned. We'll talk more about some of the challenges that Lance helps business owners with and how you can benefit from some of Lance's specific tools. So stick around, we'll be right back.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
To Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, and my guest tonight is Dr. Lance Nam, founder of Breakthrough Fitness and, Breakthrough Physical Therapy and Fitness. I'll get the name right, I promise. I did not die consulting. And we're talking about this topic of play to win, you know, better productivity through recreation. So, you know, talking about things like productivity and recreation, I wanted to ask you, Lance, if perhaps you knew of any. Either, well, I guess, A, any kind of good examples of some good forms of leisure and play that some of our audience can perhaps consider? And also, are there any, like, studies or the podcast that you may have heard that talk about how leisure and play can, you know, improve productivity or functioning or that kind of thing?
Yeah, so much to talk about here.
Sure.
You know, right now my Havanese Miley is scratching at my door. So if you hear that, definitely. But, you know, pets are an amazing stress, you know, reliever and stress solution. And there's a lot of data on that. And during the pandemic, it was fun. I really got to post, you know, I called it stress solutions and just really give an example, you know, several times a week of ideas. But I think to answer your question, that's Miley, by the way. I think that the beauty of all this is that we can actually play and set these boundaries, and we're going to be more, have better results, be more efficient and more productive in less time, basically, right? So it's everything we want. I mean, just think about a simple experiment. If you pull, you know, one all-nighter, how low your performance becomes the next day.
Right.
And, you know, I'm reading Matthew Walker's book, Neuroscientist, you know, and he's got plenty of TEDx talks if you prefer video. The data on sleep is amazing. His Joe Rogan interview is really out of this world. So, you know, even in, you know, one night, you can really decrease your function, right? And entrepreneurs have to be firing on all cylinders. There is no room to, you know, take yourself down from a, you know, Lamborghini to, you know, an old, you know, car. So you've got to, you know, really be doing well. So, yeah. So I think you can actually have both, and sleep, you know, connecting back to what we were talking about earlier, does seem to be, there's a pattern that, that sleep tends to be one of the earliest things that, that entrepreneurs tend to give up. It's just, you know, rather than developing ourself or our business skills, it's easy just to, you know, shave into that sleep time for whatever reason, you know, so, you know, that's just like a an easy hitter. And yeah, I mean, you know, as far as resources go, you know, many of the audience, for the non-healthcare people, you may not have heard of Andrew Huberman, Huberman Lab. He's a neurobiologist at Stanford, and he's really putting out some incredible material. He he synthesizes the literature, does a literature review, and then goes, you know, on to do a podcast and really puts it all together. That's, you know, partly what sparked this episode, really some of his research on play. He has an episode dedicated to play, and we can, you know, we'll get into the nitty gritty details now. And then even David Sinclair, who's a Harvard geneticist who just did a series podcast on lifespan. And yeah, so much good takeaways from some of this work. You know, to everyone on the opportunity side, the silver lining, 80% plus, some of the newer studies are showing more than 90% of our quality of life and our longevity are actually related to lifestyle. It's totally 100% in our control. We cannot blame our parents. We cannot blame our DNA, our genetics.
Right?
It's how we take care of ourselves. So that's pretty damn exciting. You know, David Sinclair, his research, the number one thing to move the needle on your lifespan, you know, that's where he's focused, is adding, is actually eating less often, right? And that's sort of like the simple way to, you know, gets into like intermittent fasting and a lot of, you know, being keto adapted and a lot of things that, you know, we could get into as much as you want. And then on the play part with Dr. Huberman's, you know, literature review, he is a neurobiologist at Stanford. And I also fell in love with some of the data on humor, right? There's a humor cliff when we're like 23, like when we're kids, we laugh and play. And then when we're 23, it goes down. After like college, we get our first job, it goes off a cliff. But literally by having fun and laughing, you know, we change the chemicals in our brains, and you can change somebody else, their feel good chemicals, and they're going to like you more, right? Want to do business with you more if you make them laugh. And the same thing with play. There's actually endogenous opiates that are released in our brain. So rather than the exogenous, the dangerous opiates from play. And the research is very clear with that. There's a lot of good neuroscience and data.
Wow. Yeah, I appreciate that, Lance. I really do. I'm glad you shared that with us, because, you know, like one thing I found is that, like, people often, many people, not all, people can be often skeptical about, like, trying something that's kind of scary to them or kind of unfamiliar or goes against the grain of what they've been told. So often having some kind of like resources, you know, research background, data to back things up, it can be really helpful. I found that with meditation, I find that's happened a lot over the years. You know, if you mention meditation or like TM, say transcendental meditation, to someone in a corporate setting in 1990, they'd say, you know, like, what is that? You know, hocus pocus, like stuff there of, you know, the yogis and the gurus and all that stuff. We're business folks. But with time, they started to produce more New York Times articles and studies about meditation increasing productivity and you know, in health and focus. And I feel like it's like those science studies have now made it okay for many people to maybe abandon old misguided beliefs they had about meditation being something that's, you know, reserved for a Buddhist monk on a mountaintop, and say, I can do this too. So when you talk about Dr. Andrew Huberman, you know, his podcast, his studies on play, or, you know, research from Sinclair you mentioned about like the benefits like of sleep and rest, it's really helpful, I think, for audience, I hope. My hope is that people will say, hey, you know what? This is not just, you know, the, you know, kind of musings of Eric Sauver and Dr. Lance Knob. This is like some actually, not that we don't have good musings between us, mind you, two sharp minds, but I think it's just like really important. I'm glad you mentioned, you know,
sorry to interrupt, the resource on humor, you know, Humor Seriously by Jennifer Akers and Naomi Bagdonis, and they're professors. They teach in Stanford Business School. So, you know, there's real data behind it, and the best business minds in the world now are introducing humor and play into their curriculums.
You know, it's funny, Lance, it's kind of funny you mentioned that, because like, actually I was going to mention this to you in my observations that one thing I have to say is how humor, when you mentioned that, like, my thought was, you know what, humor, and I think you said it's been shown to add to the lifespan. I think of Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner, senior Reiner, I think, Carl Reiner, Norman Lear, Betty White, you know, all these, you know, like classic, iconic, you know, comedians and writers and actors, people in the comedy field, you know, living till, you know, Betty White, might try of 100. I think Norman Lear is in his mid to late 90s. So it makes me kind of wonder, they spend their lives like doing what they enjoy with a lot of, you know, humor and comedy in there. And maybe, you know, what we're seeing and what we're reading and studying is there's something to it, right? Humor being a part of play.
Totally. And, you know, it connects to what I think you asked me about earlier, like, how do people do this? I think you have to do what you love, right? Whether it be for exercise and play, right? You know, you can't go out and run triathlons if you hate that, right? If you love basketball, play basketball. And, you know, you really have to, and it connects to this mind map or what I call success schedule, right? Really getting some time for yourself, and probably mixed in there is some time to really, you know, white space. You know, there's somebody that I, you know, work with and mentor under Thaddeus Gala, who continuously talks about, you know, getting some more white space in your life, and you know, probably getting out in nature is definitely been shown to have, you know, scientific backgrounds, and certainly, obviously, people, you know, vary on how much They resonate with nature, but it definitely has some strong data behind it as well, and really powerful for me personally.
Yeah. I think, you know, nature for sure. I think one of those things where, you know, we kind of connect with something bigger than us, and just the change in scenery, you can get a new perspective. And it's interesting how these things we're talking about tonight, not only can they help you with your health and well-being, but in turn, help your business become more successful, you know, more productive, right, more focused. I think that, you know, what we're talking about tonight for businesses, the idea of play to win is sort of win in the long term, you know, in that you want your business, your company, your startup, your firm, your practice, whatever the case may be, to be around, and you want to be around to enjoy it, not just, you know, at the 2-year mark or the 5-year milestone or after getting, you know, the investor seed money or, you know, getting your 100th client. You want to be there, God willing, you know, in the 5th, 10th, you know, 20th, 30th, 40th year, or maybe you retire for 20 years, who knows, but you want to be there, like, for the long run. I think what I'm also noticing too is that, like, we talk about scheduling into our day or a week, and it kind of makes me reflect on my own kind of evolving and changing views towards work and play and where it fits into life, you know. And I think it's like, I don't know if you can relate or not, but when I was a lot younger, the idea was sort of this, like, maybe flawed for me, maybe this perhaps like well-intentioned, but maybe flawed approach of, you know, work hard, play hard means you work until you're dead, bone dead exhausted. And then you kind of just crash for, you know, a weekend, and that's when you kind of play really, really hard. And you kind of just, you know, you leave vacations and a 3-day weekend, you know, and then you kind of just, you know, all out crazy. And I've kind of learned over the years that, you know, that doesn't really work for me. I need to kind of just schedule in some leisure, some downtime during the week. It can't be kind of a thing where, you know, from Friday night to Sunday night, I'm completely, you know, decompressing and just working like crazy without fun from Monday morning through Friday night. Or you can put in your own schedules there. I mean, if you work a 5-day or 6-day week, but so I'm wondering like what your thoughts are about this. I'm thinking about it now as I get towards a vacation and want to make sure when I get back, I continue to schedule in, you know, those occasional long lunches or a half day with my wife, because on vacation, you get all that stuff. And then you go, you know, when I get back, like, I'm going to change things up. And then, you know, a month later, you're easy in the thick of things, a heavy workload. So what do you think about that scheduling, like, on a day-to-day basis, not, you know?
Agree 1,000%. And you and I talked about this, you know, there's an 8-figure executive that I'm supporting, a CEO. And, you know, one of the first meetings we had, they said, Lance, listen, I carry my gym bag around all week, but I never get to use it. I only get to exercise on the weekends. And that was their biggest, you know, challenge, right? That we were trying to figure out. And again, creating the framework of the success schedule and just trying to, you know, have some accountability and support and guidance and get more efficient, right? And this is somebody who's passionate about exercise. Exercise has been a major part of their life.
Yeah.
But, you know, and this was obviously the company is doing well and, you know, thriving, but, you know, without their leader staying healthy, it's not sustainable.
Yeah, so true. I think it's important for employers to know that also, that, you know, employers can offer, you know, employee wellness programs for their workers, and they can model, right, you know, good, you know, health. And they can also be mindful of, you know, these sort of boundaries around technology and working remotely from a legal perspective as an attorney, telling them, hey, you don't want to violate the overtime laws if you have, you know, a non-exempt, you know, employee is supposed to be paid overtime for time and a half, and you're emailing them at 8 o'clock at night to answer responses, and they're working 50 hours instead of 40, but also just think of their health and well-being. So I think there are a lot of, you know, points that, but I do hear about, you know, how you schedule that in with that executive. Interesting how important that is to do.
One tactic to add to what you just said, I think that, yeah, good leaders can be, you know, personally, I've shared my success schedule with my team. So they knew when I flipped the switch and vice versa. So at whatever time that was, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it was for which person at which time in their life, right? And you have to customize it for all these variables. But at that point, we would try to be more respectful and even use a simple tool of just like schedule send instead of sending that email at 9 o'clock, because some people are unfortunately going to check, right? Not everyone's disciplined enough just to not check until, you know, the next time they're quote working. So schedule send for the next morning. So, because again, the average, you know, employee doesn't necessarily know whether to act when their supervisor, you know, or the CEO or owner sends them something at, you know, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. Are they supposed to act on that? So, you know, so schedule send can really just be a small immediate step you can take towards really helping your team stay low stress, right? And leading by example.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Endorsed it as an employment law attorney, right? I think it's a great idea. Then they're responding on their hours, you know, hours they're supposed to work. And also just like from the point of view you mentioned about, you know, not burning your team out. And frankly, not burning oneself out, because then if the employee responds at 10 o'clock and you're not disciplined enough not to check, then you're checking for bedtime. And so I know a lot of people have struggled with that, the checking even before bed. I don't do it personally. I always wait till the morning. I figure whatever's there in my inbox at, you know, whatever time of night, will be there in the morning. And if it's good news, totally, I'll be able to start right in the morning, right? If it's something challenging, I can deal with a fresh mind, not go to bed ruminating about the situation. Like, so I think that's, you know, and we're actually up to a commercial break, if you believe it. When we come back, I want to just, you know, give you time to talk about like how you, you know, work with people, talk more about tools you use, you know, like consulting. Like, so I'll just cut right to the commercial break. Stick around, talk to NYC. I'm your host of Employment Law Today, Eric Sauber. Our guest tonight, Dr. Lance Knob, and we'll be right back.
Join us every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for The Mind Behind Leadership, where we focus on what leadership really means to us and to others. We have practical discussions with the CEOs of some of the world's largest companies, owners of small businesses, and experts in psychology and behavior to get that inside track, what to do, what to avoid, and what really happens. Join me, Graham Dobbin, at the new time, 4 p.m. every Tuesday for The Mind Behind Leadership here live on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
To Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber. I'm an employment law and business law attorney, and I'm here tonight with my guest, Dr. Lance Knob, founder of Breakthrough Physical Therapy and Fitness, and also founder of Denali Consulting. And we're talking about this idea of play to win, better productivity through recreation. Lance sharing a host of tips, information, and resources about this topic. And so I wanted to just sort of turn the floor over to you, Lance, to talk about Denali Consulting in terms of what you are, what you do for your clients, businesses, and also how you, how that includes factoring in play recreation into the picture, but, you know, what you guys do for people.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing that I wanted to share is just to let everyone know my story and why I'm so passionate about, you know, paying it forward and helping other leaders and entrepreneurs to stay healthy mentally, physically, spiritually, and have healthy businesses that have double-digit profitability after paying themselves. So in 2011, when we just had our third child and we had three offices, about 30 employees, I was abusing my body, not sleeping enough, not exercising enough, not eating well, and just generally, you know, not taking care of myself. And my body had it reached its limit and it revolted, and my digestive system stopped working. It shut down my GI system. So I couldn't eat. I couldn't take in nutrients, and I had to run to the bathroom even when I did try. And you really can't treat patients as a physical therapist, and you certainly can't lead a team. If you ever took your body for granted, right, when your gut health isn't working, you know, it's not going to work. So I was, fortunately, it was temporary. I had an endoscopy and, you know, saw some, you know, doctors, but I had to start taking better care of myself, right? It was a little forced shutdown. Like, you know, I know, Eric, you weren't feeling great this week, and you had to, you know, you had to do some self, you know, preservation, self-care. And, you know, fortunately you're back in action. So similar to me. So, you know, I realized I continue to develop myself personally, and, you know, that's really step one in the 4% breakthrough, my book process. I try to put all my hard-earned lessons into this process. So I believe personal development is so important. And then sort of the fifth chapter within that first section is this success schedule, I call it, this time map we've been talking about tonight, which, if anyone reaches out to me, I'll be happy to share the template that I use for people that I serve. And hopefully it creates a nice framework and boundary. And, you know, just like little things, I put my, you know, time with family as yellow, and, you know, maybe to work on the business as green versus in the business, you know, as a technician, like Michael Gerber language you're probably familiar with from the E-Myth. So then the second section would be the business fundamentals, right? I had to continue to develop my business skills and business basics, and, you know, put position descriptions and org boards and processes and systems and, you know, marketing business plans, all those fundamentals into the business. And then lastly, I had to really weave, you know, all this actionable health and lifestyle information, which we talked about. Lifestyle is the majority of our health and our lifespan and quality of life is due to what's, you know, 1,000% in our control. So that's, you know, something I love to help entrepreneurs with this process. And I've got a companion book that has sort of the steps in it. And even the it also has the assessment. I like people to actually take a baseline assessment, see where they are with some of these things, and then they can measure their progress. So I don't know how much time we have. I know we're getting close, but, you know, so the book and, you know, the assessment would be great places to start. And even the specific success schedule, people could reach out to me at my Denali Consulting, Dr. Lance Knob at DenaliConsultingTeam.com. And I will share it with you, and I send it to you today. So I'd love to see you take a cut at it, Eric, to make sure, sure. You've got your priorities and, you know, carved out for you. So those are a few quick things off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's a good idea, but I think it's a good idea. I should take a stab at that, as you mentioned, for sure.
No pressure. I put you on the spot here in front of
now I'm thinking I'm accountable, you know, I'm going to do it. To circle back and say, you know, maybe a future show and say, here's what I did, you know. I think absolutely. And Lance, just, you know, we have a, you know, a few minutes left. So can you, for those listening that might not see, can you spell their Denali Consulting? It was saying, and I know how to spell, but
sure. So it's Denali, like the mountain. So it's Denali. Dr. Lance, Lance, Knob, Knaub, as in boy, at DenaliConsultingTeam.com would be my email. And the website for anyone who wants to check anything out is DenaliConsultingTeam.com.
Yeah, you know, great stuff. You know, I appreciate you sharing your story with us too, that kind of background story that I think we all have in some way. And having just gotten over a stomach virus, as I mentioned, a stomach flu, my son had it Friday night through Sunday. I had Sunday night through, I guess, like this last night, this morning. It can be hard. And to take that, I just took a day off yesterday. I just, like, you know, set the email settings out of the office, set the phone setting for that. And everyone said, oh, you have a 3-day weekend lounging around, which would have been fine. But I said, no such luck. But I think that self-care, I think, like, is so important because, you know, for our bodies, like Phallus, as you said, your body was starting to do, what's the meaning of all this, right? I mean, you know, like, you can't run a firm or a startup from the hospital, or God forbid, from worse. So I'm really glad that you, that was a good, you turned things around with your fitness and paid it forward to help others.
And you said it just right? Yeah. What is the meaning of all this? To me, that's step one, really, like breaking away from all the noise, all the chaos. And this is not easy for entrepreneurs, right? From the last time we talked, I'm really passionate about people, you know, especially entrepreneurs and leaders, taking time to do some of the strategic work, some of the planning, right? Just like we talked about, you know, to have your week laid out for you, what it's perfect, you know, which should look like in a perfect world. So, You know, I think that that's very important, just breaking away from all those things to step one, figure out, you know, what I call your, you know, personal mission. You've heard that before, but your cause, your reason, your why, and cross-checking it with your priorities.
Yeah, you know, that's a great topic for people tonight. I think it's a great kind of just, you know, our discussion, our elaborating on this play to win, this idea of better productivity like through recreation and play and work-life balance. And, you know, I think self-care maybe is the overarching umbrella. Under that, you have, you know, self-care in terms of sleep and nutrition and self-care in terms of play, fun, like say nature, for example, exercise, like all that great stuff. You know, it's really been like great having the show tonight. Now, last thing I'll add, I think that I encourage people to take a stab at these things, like little bites at a time. You know, you don't have to bite off the whole apple once. You can start out with a 15-minute walk or a 10-minute music break. Right. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I want to mention that we're watching and listening to Employment Law Today. If you like what you heard, join us every Tuesday night, 5 p.m. right here on Talk Radio NYC. And tune in next for Joseph Franklin McElroy and his amazing show. Lots of good shows on the network. You can tune in. You can check out the website, talkradio.nyc. Once again, I want to thank you, Dr. Lance Knob. Have a wonderful evening. Always great speaking with you, Lance.
Thank you so much, Eric. My pleasure.
All right. Thank you. Be well, everyone. Have a great night. I'll see you all next week.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a business owner?
I started working with business owners.
Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.